Part 4. You will hear part of an interview with a lecturer about the technology of the 1980s. For questions 24 to 30, choose the best answer A, B, or C. You now have 1 minute to look at part 4.
It is generally agreed that over the past 50 years, progress in technology has been faster than ever before. But when exactly did this technological revolution take off? To help answer this question, we have Dr. Peter Tucker. Welcome, Dr. Tucker.
Thank you.
Having read your book, I know you find the technological developments of the 80s fascinating. Why do you think that decade was so special?
It's simply that almost all the gadgets we have in our homes today are based on devices that became standard in that decade. Of course, they have improved in quality and capability since then, but the concept is the same. One example is the Sony Walkman of the 80s and the iPod of today.
It's interesting that the example you gave concerned music entertainment. There were many changes in this area in the 1980s, weren't there?
Indeed, there were. You might even call them a music entertainment revolution. In a short time, the vinyl LP, 8-track and cassette were replaced by the CD. The actual change to CD systems was not unexpected, but what took nearly everyone by surprise was the speed of that change. You must remember that such a change meant spending money on CDs and a CD player too. And it wasn't a small amount. At that time, a new CD player cost over £500, which is much more than £1,000 in today's money.
What caused people to change to CDs so quickly?
I don't think it had that much to do with advertising, not in a direct sense anyway. It was more a case of people visiting a friend who had a CD music system and actually hearing what it had to offer for themselves. Unlike the vinyl record and the cassette, the CD offered the listener exactly the same sound each time it was played. It was high quality and did not suffer the problem of wear. By that I mean the vinyl record being worn by the needle, or the cassette tape being worn by the head, which reduces sound quality over time.
What about the amount of information that could fit onto the CD?
The original CDs made by Sony had to be able to play for at least 74 minutes.
74 minutes? Why 74 minutes and not, say, 70 minutes?
Well, one Sony executive at the time happened to be a composer and conductor. He wanted Beethoven's Ninth Symphony to fit on the CD. It was his favourite piece of music, and he wanted to be able to listen to it on CD so that he could enjoy the improved quality.
How interesting! Did the same company play any part in developing any other form of entertainment?
Yes. Sony introduced one of the main video cassette systems onto the market. You may have heard of it. It's called the VHS system, and it was in direct competition with the Betamax system invented by JVC. In the end, only the VHS system survived as Betamax disappeared. This happened because VHS cassettes were slightly cheaper, and more importantly, they offered far more titles. In video stores and clubs, the vast majority of video cassettes were VHS. So they sold better and were rented more often. Since there was only room for one system, VHS was the logical winner.
I see. If I'm not mistaken, 1980s technology also improved our social lives. I'm talking about the mobile phone, of course.
Definitely. It was the first time we could stay in touch with our family and friends when we were out and not in our cars. The first mobile available to the public was the Dynatac 8000X. It weighed about a kilo, which earned it the nickname of the Brick. It was priced at about £2,500, and the cost of a call was around £1 per minute, which was the reason why few people had them.
So by using one frequently, you could get a good workout and go broke at the same time.
I suppose you could. The Dynatac seems strange when you compare it to today's mobiles, but it basically worked on the same principle as the modern equivalents.
Now, I know you're a fan of another 80s invention that is certainly not high-tech. Could you tell us a little about it?
Rubik's Cube, as it was known, was a puzzle. The object was, and still is, to turn the rows of the cube until there are six solid colours, one on each side of the cube. Over 300 million of them have been sold since it first appeared in shops, so there are many around today.
Actually, I have one that I bought in the 80s. I still haven't solved it.
That's not surprising, because there are quintillions of combinations possible. What is surprising, though, is that the minimum number of moves needed to solve the puzzle from a jumbled cube is 22. And what is truly amazing is that in an international competition to find out who could solve the puzzle the fastest, the winner did it in just under 15 seconds.
That fact doesn't do much for my confidence. Let's take a break.
Now you'll hear part four again.
It is generally agreed that over the past 50 years, progress in technology has been faster than ever before. But when exactly did this technological revolution take off? To help answer this question, we have Dr. Peter Tucker. Welcome, Dr. Tucker.
Thank you.
Having read your book, I know you find the technological developments of the 80s fascinating. Why do you think that decade was so special?
It's simply that almost all the gadgets we have in our homes today are based on devices that became standard in that decade. Of course, they have improved in quality and capability since then, but the concept is the same. One example is the Sony Walkman of the 80s and the iPod of today.
It's interesting that the example you gave concerned music entertainment. There were many changes in this area in the 1980s, weren't there?
Indeed, there were. You might even call them a music entertainment revolution. In a short time, the vinyl LP, 8-track and cassette were replaced by the CD. The actual change to CD systems was not unexpected, but what took nearly everyone by surprise was the speed of that change. You must remember that such a change meant spending money on CDs and a CD player too. And it wasn't a small amount. At that time, a new CD player cost over £500, which is much more than £1,000 in today's money.
What caused people to change to CDs so quickly?
I don't think it had that much to do with advertising, not in a direct sense anyway. It was more a case of people visiting a friend who had a CD music system and actually hearing what it had to offer for themselves. Unlike the vinyl record and the cassette, the CD offered the listener exactly the same sound each time it was played. It was high quality and did not suffer the problem of wear. By that I mean the vinyl record being worn by the needle or the cassette tape being worn by the head, which reduces sound quality over time.
What about the amount of information that could fit onto the CD?
The original CDs made by Sony had to be able to play for at least 74 minutes.
74 minutes? Why 74 minutes and not, say, 70 minutes?
Well, one Sony executive at the time happened to be a composer and conductor. He wanted Beethoven's Ninth Symphony to fit on the CD. It was his favourite piece of music, and he wanted to be able to listen to it on CD so that he could enjoy the improved quality.
How interesting! Did the same company play any part in developing any other form of entertainment?
Yes. Sony introduced one of the main video cassette systems onto the market. You may have heard of it. It's called the VHS system, and it was in direct competition with the Betamax system invented by JVC. In the end, only the VHS system survived as Betamax disappeared. This happened because VHS cassettes were slightly cheaper and, more importantly, they offered far more titles. In video stores and clubs, the vast majority of video cassettes were VHS, so they sold better and were rented more often. Since there was only room for one system, VHS was the logical winner.
I see. If I'm not mistaken, 1980s technology also improved our social lives. I'm talking about the mobile phone, of course.
Definitely. It was the first time we could stay in touch with our family and friends when we were out and not in our cars. The first mobile available to the public was the Dynatac 8000X. It weighed about a kilo, which earned it the nickname of the Brick. It was priced at about £2,500, and the cost of a call was around £1 per minute, which was the reason why few people had them.
So by using one frequently, you could get a good workout and go broke at the same time.
I suppose you could. The Dynatac seems strange when you compare it to today's mobiles, but it basically worked on the same principle as the modern equivalents.
Now, I know you're a fan of another 80s invention that is certainly not high-tech. Could you tell us a little about it?
Rubik's Cube, as it was known, was a puzzle. The object was, and still is, to turn the rows of the cube until there are 6 solid colours, one on each side of the cube. Over 300 million of them have been sold since it first appeared in shops, so there are many around today.
Actually, I have one that I bought in the 80s. I still haven't solved it.
That's not surprising, because there are quintillions of combinations possible. What is surprising, though, is that the minimum number of moves needed to solve the puzzle from a jumbled cube is 22. And what is truly amazing is that in an international competition to find out who could solve the puzzle the fastest, the winner did it in just under 15 seconds.
That fact doesn't do much for my confidence. Let's take a break.
That is the end of part 4.